Okay, I'm a compulsive reader. My name is Michael. I'm very pleased to be with you, and certainly thank you to Bill C. for the invitation to be with you. Being here, it gives me an opportunity to give something back, hopefully. There's so much that have been given to me over the time, very freely. So it seems just right to give something back, and hopefully somebody will be helped. What brought me to Overeaters Anonymous? I didn't come here for a relationship with God. I didn't come here to have my emotional relations resolved. I came here because I was overweight at 276 pounds. I'm looking for a place to take weight off. And I was told that I could keep it off here. But and I remember, just remembering. Splitting trouser and seams, crazy eating habits around food. My behaviors around food were kind of bordered, not kind of, they bordered on insanity. Diets varied in nature can be added to the reasons. And I went on diets. I could stop, but I could never stay stopped. And I made promises to myself, to God, but I never kept up my end of the bargain. I'll tell you, I don't think I mentioned food here, but ice cream was my go-to. Helpings at dinner time, two and three and four. Even in times when wasn't even hungry, I would be eating. Would snack middle of the night. I know we're having the big Thanksgiving coming up for many of us, and after Thanksgiving dinner, I'd be back in the kitchen an hour later looking for something to eat. Just couldn't seem to help myself. Professional assistance didn't seem to reach where it needed to reach me, so insofar as my physical, mental, and emotional being was concerned. But actually, later on, what I learned from the professional encounters ended up to be very helpful. Of course, I had maybe a little clearer mind. That were would be helpful. I do recall the psychiatrist. I don't know if he's a psychiatrist or whatever he was. I do recall being told I was more of a human doing than a human being, and he often would say, just be, just be. And my compulsive eating history, alcohol, played a significant part in all the craziness. And what probably what happened with alcohol? I would drink more, drink too much, then I would eat more. So it was a wicked combination. Without a doubt, my way was not working. And I learned something about later on about my what was contributing to my illness as a compulsive reader, about my selfishness, self-centeredness, and powerlessness. A dear AA friend of mine actually suggested I come to OA for help, which I desperately needed. And I was willing to give it a try. Nothing else was working for sure. Not my way was. My first meeting was in my hometown of Avon Lake, Ohio. That was in January of 1980. And I was very thankful, am very thankful, continue to be thankful for the very warm welcome, friendly welcome, and the guidance that was offered, and the really the desire to be of help, to be of help. At that time, there was a sponsor to obtain. I called in a plan of eating, 301, three moderate meals a day, nothing in between, one day at a time, going to meetings. But the long and short of it, I didn't grasp the seriousness of the disease early on. Mind, body, and spirit were being affected. I never left OA. However, it wasn't until May 4th, 1982, that I settled in and decided to be real serious and decided to do what was necessary. And from that day, May 4th, 1982, we've been abstinents. We have been abstinent one day at a time. Very, very grateful. And we do what we need to do as each day comes and goes. The 12-step journey is the major factor. It's a design for living that I that I encountered, continue to encounter. Just to summarize, steps 1, 2, and 3, they're the give up steps. It was necessary for me to give up. I was powerless over food, couldn't manage my life. And so I just gave up, and to surrender. And sometimes when you think of surrender, you think of weakness, but when you surrender to this disease, it's a very formidable disease. So you surrender in strength. So steps 1, 2, and 3 were the give up steps, gave up. The steps 4, 5, and 6, they're the cleanup steps. I had a lot of cleaning up to do, a lot of cleaning up to do. Not easy to do, but you see, it wasn't just me doing it, because I picked up the we, picked up the we doing for me what I could never do for myself. Had it, the inventory, I wrote the inventory. I didn't. We wrote the inventory and gave it away in step 5. And of course, that wasn't the easiest thing to do. I was okay with forgiving myself or talking to myself about it and talking to God about it. But to really, decide to talk to somebody else about it, that was another thing. But when I sat down with him, in fact, he was a retired minister, and he told a little bit about himself, which kind of opened the door for me to speak about my inventory. But I had this inventory, and we wrote it several pages of legal pages. And you can think about inventory and talk about inventory, but when you write it and you see it, it makes it real. It makes it real. So we with the help, support of the fellowship, and my willingness, and God's presence, support of a sponsor, support of the fellowship and friends, we did that. We moved on to steps 7, 8, and 9, the makeup steps. I had a lot of makeup to do, a lot of amends. And what was shared with me is that, Michael, when you go back to make your amends, forget about saying you're sorry. Forget about saying you're sorry. Go back, because you've been saying you're sorry and going back and doing the same things. Go back, apologize, and ask for forgiveness for whatever the misdeed, whatever you did wrong. Now, obviously, you would like the forgiveness, but it's immaterial. Whether you get it or not, you've done your part. You've gone back, you've apologized, and asked for forgiveness. You've done your part. It goes in the other person's court, so to speak. For the most part, I was well received. There was a couple ifs, but for the most part, I was received. And most people are willing to participate and help. 10, 11, and 12 are the keep up steps. Those are the ones that I need to be working on, living on each day, each and every day, as I did this morning, starting with the prayer work and the footwork on my knees in prayer. Something about the 12 step journey. The journey has nothing to do with going out here. Nothing to do with going out here. It has all about going within. It's a within job. And the closer that we can get to the center of my being, the closer I am to God, and the better off that I am in way of peace and serenity. The tools have played a major role. Plan of eating, as I mentioned, 3 moderate meals a day, nothing in between. I may have 2 once in a while, never 4. It's 3 moderate meals a day, nothing in between. I used to be soda and heavy soda drinking diet. I don't drink vitamin water and other things like that in between meals. Sponsorship, I have been sponsored. I do sponsor. I remember being told, Michael, if you find the perfect sponsor, you found the wrong one. You found the wrong one. Meetings. In my area, I used to go to one or two in-person meetings, but I find myself, because of the circumstances, more on online meetings. And I go to one in Cleveland, Ohio. I go to one up in Burbank, in Illinois, and from time to time others. So I am at meetings, and I heard about meetings. If I fail to go to meetings, then I fail to find out what happens to people that don't go to meetings. So telephone, we use the telephone. daily, maybe one or two calls. There might be a day or two that'll pass by, but the telephone is very, very, very helpful. I'll tell you one thing too. What I learned, a voicemail counts. A voicemail counts. When you call and just leave a message, that counts. Writing, we do writing. Writing a God letter, writing to other compulsive readers, just dropping in to see how they're doing, what they're doing, ask if he can be, if I can be some help. Or, but writing is very, very, very important. The literature, I do read the OA literature and a mixture of AA literature. I read that every day in the morning, and I read some at night. The action plan, I think I kind of what I'm sharing to you, sharing with you right now is kind of the action plan. I tell you, a friend of mine, this prayer work, a friend of mine back in Cleveland, Ohio, a long time, she happened to be a Catholic nun. I mean, that's a very lovely person. She said, "Michael, when we pray, we better put feet on our prayers. We pray and we have some action to take. We just don't put it in God's hands and then sit around and wait. We do something. There's something that we can do. Anonymity, I do the best I can to practice anonymity, to practice anonymity, and keeping things of a nature that not to expose anybody that's in the fellowship. I know sometimes I have shared, maybe you have too, where I'll tell a story. Because if people don't know about OA, what's going to bring them to what's going to bring what are they going to bring us bring them to us? I'll tell a little story about a wonderful thing, but no name, no name. Service. When I learned early on, service is slenderizing, as I was told. Service is slenderizing, and I've had the privilege of serving at the local. My local meetings, the local intergroup in Ohio. I'm in Colorado now, but in Ohio, I served as a in the region, and then I served on the World Service Board as a General Service Trustee. It was very, very helpful. A couple things I at the World Service level, a couple things I picked up: listening, and also I don't know how many times I said to myself, "Gee, I never thought of that. I never thought of that. Somebody else has a better idea." And before OA, it was I, me. Now, what's happened as far as this design for living, we flipped the me, the M, to we. It's we doing for me that what I can never do for myself. Not long ago, I heard, if we don't like our story, talk to the author. If we don't like our story, talk to the author. Ooh. But you know what this program allows us to do? If we do, it does allow us to talk to the author ourselves, not to change history, maybe learn from it, but help write better chapters going on. God has been with me ever since my birth. He's never not been with me. What happened was, I wasn't with him. The disease of compulsive reading just interfered with my relation. I had more faith in food than I did him, but that's all changed. It's all changed. It's come from, it's more, well, it's not more, but it's just a whole lot of God's will opposed to my will. And God's will is so much, obviously so much better. And I say it's God was, and God, because I showed up in OA, God didn't grant me the gift of abstinence. He gifted me when I was born. And again, just to be repetitious for a moment, it's I who got in because of the disease, that abused the gift, didn't use the gift that he had given me. It was in this fellowship that I recognized and was shown that I'd have the gift of abstinence, and what we can do to keep it. My recovery has come physically, emotionally, spiritually. If I were to lose it, I'm going to lose it spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So it's important to keep up the footwork each day.
So it's a
God is,
5 minute work.
thank you.
Thank
God
you.
has never failed me, nor will he fail me. Overeaters Anonymous has never failed me. And you know, the thing is, we are promised recovery. We're promised recovery if we do what is suggested. And it's a team effort we can do for each other. Giving back is critical. Give back, and share experience, strength, and hope with others that it might be helpful to them. You know, there isn't anything better than two compulsive readers or two anorexics or two bulimics talking to one another because they share experiences and they know what's happened and they know where they've been, and together they know where they might be able to go. The program has allowed me to maintain about 100 pound weight release, not a loss. If we lose it, we'll find it, or it'll find me, because that's happened before. That's a weight release. As I say, the abstinence, and it's important for me to, you know, people, you know, share with me, well, how long you've been abstinent? Well, I usually just preface by the and say the longest recorded period of abstinence history is one day. One day, one day. So I would just keep, keep at it, one day at a time. And sometimes, you know what, I've learned some things, a lot more than just taking off the weight, because the weight's come off. Sometimes I'm in a situation, and you know what I find out? It's none of my business. None of my business. And then I don't know if you heard about the acronym for WAIT. Why am I talking? Why am I talking? And you know, the thing is too, sometimes, you know, from time to time, I'll share with newcomers or maybe people that are coming back. You know, if we keep coming back, if we stick around, you know, one of two things are going to happen if we are in earnest. Either keep coming back, stick around. One of two things is going to happen. One, the program will get us, or we'll get the program. We win either way. We win either way. Acceptance, just to, you know, some things kind of to close off here. Acceptance, the answer to all my problems. And sometimes there's things I don't want to accept, but called to accept. And we're doing what is necessary each day. Being here has been a pleasure. It's we doing for us that we can never do for ourselves. And one day at a time. One day at a time. And sometimes, you know, I used to say, well, I still say one day at a time, or stick around. But it's not so much sticking around, it's not so much one day at a time. It's what are we doing now? What are you doing right now? And we all know what we're doing right now. So thank you all. I hopefully somebody mentioned the Reader's Digest version, so that's the best I could do from the 2 hours. So thank you so much, and God bless you all.